All right, and we are back here on Out of the Woods. John Shane still here with us in the studio playing some great stuff for you. So we're going to kick back in and play some more music, I guess.
Sure.
I'm sure he's been thinking about what's next. So
no, I haven't been, but I could say that I have been and play something off the spur of the moment.
We had some coffee. Real coffee, not the kind he was singing about.
No, yes, real drinkable coffee.
We had a cookie.
Well, let's see. What would you like to hear? Something new, something old?
Let's do an oldie.
Do an oldie.
Yeah, an oldie, original oldie, if you got one.
I have a lot of original oldies.
I'm sure you do.
All right. I'll do this one. This is kind of topical these days, I guess. Maybe it's always topical because it kind of talks about divisiveness and where we seem to be at these days in our political culture, I think. Waiting for some good news to come on down the wire. Waiting to unearth a brand new melody. Lord, I can't sit and wait forevermore with so many waiting to be free. News has got me down, it darkens all my dreams. Voices on the radio pushing get rich schemes. Divide and they conquer, that's what they do. Keep you from knowing me and me from knowing you. Plowman knows it's time we look for high roads. The forest burns, the weather turns. They say we're luckier than most. Luckier than most. It keeps me up at night. You know it really does. Haven't had no coffee, still my mind's a buzz. How do I reconcile what happens with what should? I don't know if I can, if I even could. The rooster crows, the plowman knows it's time we look for higher roads. The forest burns, the weather turns. They say we're luckier than most. I guess I'll head down to the coast. Time like a present, and isn't that a gift? Cherish every moment, we can catch our breath. Still I sit and wait for a glimpse of paradise. One day I'll know peace and I'll be satisfied. The rooster crows, the
plowman knows it's time we look for higher roads. The forest burns, the weather turns, they say we're luckier than most. We are luckier than most.
Very nice. John Shane, once again.
That one's called Luckier Than Most.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about Paul Simon earlier. That sort of has a
It's
a
kind
vibe.
Of in his guitar style, huh?
Yeah. Very good stuff.
I saw there was something about Paul Simon on... He sang at the 9/11 memorial recently and did a version of Sounds of Silence that was just so haunting, standing right there in front of the towers. The big square reflecting pools that they have now,
right.
Where those were.
Yeah.
So
that's something else.
Kind of cool video. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I never set out to play the guitar like Paul Simon or anything like that. I was always more interested in sounding like Jorma Kaukonen and some of the more bluesier players. But when I was a kid, you know, Simon and Garfunkel were everywhere. Like their music was very popular, and one of the first 8-track tapes that we had in our family was Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits, and I'm sure that stuff has just found its way into my soul over the years, you know. And it's great stuff, you know.
It's
funny how there are certain musicians who they have popular appeal, but they don't necessarily get talked about in the reverential way that others do, right? So, you know, Bob Dylan is always put on a pedestal as being like America's greatest songwriter. And certainly I am a huge Dylan fan, so I can't say anything denying that. But really, Paul Simon should be up there as well, you know, in that pantheon. And one would have to guess that Dylan would agree with me because he recorded The Boxer on one of his albums, right? You know? So I don't know how many people he's covered in his career.
Yeah, and wasn't The Boxer sort of a dig at him or something like that?
A dig at?
At Dylan.
Was it?
I think it was.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, if you look at the history of it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So... Well, yeah, I'll have to rethink the lyrics in that light. That's very interesting.
Yeah. I believe you'll be able to find some description of, you know, the genesis of it out there online someplace if you look. But, yeah, I think there was a connection there between Dylan and Paul Simon and sort of a, you know.
I think they're buddies, though, because, like, I saw them on tour together, like, 10 years ago or something. No, probably 15 years ago.
Well, after all this time, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
that song's been around since the 60s, right?
Which one?
The Boxer. When did he first
come out? Oh, yeah, The Boxer probably came out in like 1967 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that,
Yeah, that tour that he did with Paul Simon, it was in the late 90s, and I had been working in a guitar store in Carrboro, North Carolina, and I happened to be on the road, I think, playing a gig, and the day that I was gone from the store... Paul Simon's lead guitar player, Mark Stewart, I think his name is, came into the store, fell in love with this instrument that was in there that a friend of mine had made. It was a sitar guitar made of masonite. It was like, but it was really cool looking. And he said, you know, I really think Paul Simon would love this guitar. And if you would bring it to the show tonight, I'll give you guys... free tickets and backstage passes. And I wasn't there, but so my buddy and like three other friends went to backstage where Dylan and Paul Simon were hanging out, and Paul Simon ended up buying the guitar. And so I do have a photograph of him, of Paul Simon with that guitar.
That's funny.
And because I wasn't there, my buddy who had sold the guitar to him, he called the guy and he got us tickets to go to see them in Charlotte a little while later, the next week or something. So I did get to go, but we didn't go backstage.
A Masonite guitar. It had to be really thin Masonite, I would have to assume.
Yeah,
that's some heavy stuff, isn't it?
Well,
it can be heavy.
It's kind of almost like made of cardboard or paper.
Yeah, but
or something.
If you get the quarter inch thick stuff, it's like,
yeah,
it's weight to it.
It was made to be plugged in. It was not made to be like a high quality acoustic instrument.
Okay,
you know?
Sure.
But I know that Paul Simon did do something with a sitar guitar on one of the subsequent albums, and I don't know if he used that or not. Unfortunately, yeah, my friend who made the guitar, he passed away about a year or two ago. But he was a brilliant maker of guitar effects. If there's any guitar players out there listening, you can look up Glenn Wylie, W-Y-L-I-E, I think it was. And he made fuzz pedals and things, all influenced by his time in the late 60s. He was a huge Hendrix fan and actually met him a few times, too.
Cool.
Yeah, he had a million stories. I'm really sad that he's gone, this guy Glenn.
I don't know how many of you out there know about John Shane and his rock and roll past, but he used to be in a group called Flying Mice.
That's right.
Back in the day.
We toured from, I guess we started in 1989 and played till about 1996. At that time, we got to play with everybody at some point. I mean, and it's funny because some of them became really famous later, like we played with Dave Matthews Band and the Hootie and the Blowfish and Edwin McCain, all those guys. And then, but we also did a lot of shows with some of the old 60s acts and things. We got to play with Leon Russell and some of the bluegrass guys like Tony Rice Unit and David sure. Grisman Quintet. And we played with the Dixie Dregs. And it was, we were like the quintessential opening band, I think. but it was a lot of fun in those days.
You know, sort of also got to play for the Grateful Dead, right?
Oh, they did play our music at the set break at the Grateful Dead a few times. I was never there, but I did hear about it.
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we got to meet Yorma and play with Hot Tuna and stuff like that, too. Yeah, it was good times.
Actually, one of my favorite recordings is still one of the ones you sent my way, which was you opening for Yorma Kalkinen at mm-hmm. the Arts Center there in Carrboro.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think I actually have a track from Yorma from that show on this week's Out of the Woods.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And I actually got permission from Yorma to play it on the radio back before they pulled the plug on the whole bootleg sort of deal.
Things have cracked down in the Yorma circles.
They have, yeah.
His whole kind of business is, I think, more tightly run than it had been at that time. But, you know, he's got great things going on in his career. You know, he's had his Grammys and stuff since then, right? So
yeah, yeah.
They know what they're doing. Keeping the likes of you and me away from him.
Or his wife Vanessa knows what she's doing, and he's tagging along.
Yeah, she's a good business person.
Very yeah. good. Well, we should play another song, don't you think?
Yeah, sure. Shall I do a Flying Mice song then?
Absolutely.
You know, for the
we did the big
for
lead
the curious
in.
Out there.
Did the big lead in. Now we got to do the song.
Yeah, we're almost going to do a reunion this year because there's this homegrown music network out there, and they were doing a reunion festival, their 20th anniversary, and he did ask me about putting our band back together to do a show, but it did not work out. We have one guy who's out in Texas, so there was really no way to bring him back, I think. So what would be a good Flying Mice song to do? This is a pretty one. This is one that I actually performed at several friends' weddings. It's called Glass Bottom Saturdays. Glass bottom Saturdays in search of you, watching the water for your smile. I could spend my whole life just searching, never coming closer than a mile. How I walk the water's edge someday,
while the autumn colors fly. Always my eyes upon my footsteps, always hearing yours close by, hearing yours close by. Wash the clouds away, come dance across the day, come join in the spirit play, and just kick back and say you see me in a while. Skipping all the flat stones I can't find, just to count the ripple rings across the shaken mirror silence. A lonely echo sings, wandering back among the tower to the clearing where I lie. A flowery drop lands on my forehead, falling from your hidden eye, falling from your sky. Away, come dance across the day, come join in spirit play. Oh, just kick back and say you see me in a while. Come wash the clouds away, come dance across the day, come join in spirit play. Or just kick back and say you'll see me in a while.
Very nice. John Shane for you. Thank once you. Again.
That song goes back to about 1992 or so, I bet.
Oh, very good year, yeah.
It was a good year.
The year I got married.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Of course, we were only like 8 years old back then, me and you, right?
That's right, yeah, really young. Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking about how long it's been since you've been on the show. And it's been 15 years, I think.
Really? Since I played in Henniker?
Yeah, it was 2000.
Wow, that is a long time ago.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yep, I did not have a daughter then.
Right.
Right? You know, she's now 13 years old. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it was Brand New Lifetime was the CD.
Oh, that was my first solo CD. That's right. Yeah. So did you I can't remember. Did I get in touch with you about that, or did you know about Wake before that, or Flying Mice before that?
You know, I think I had Wake, but I don't know if I had made the connection that you were in Wake at that point.
Yeah, because you were doing a lot of alt country stuff back then too, right?
A bit, but I was really more singer-songwriter.
Singer-songwriters.
Yeah. I think I'm much more of the roots Americana vibe now than I was back then.
That's interesting. Yeah, because Wake, that band that followed Flying Mice, we had a little bit more of influence of like doing kind of what the Jayhawks were doing, a little bit of that mixture of acoustic and electric stuff and kind of Americana stuff. I don't think they called it Americana country. Then what did they call it? Like alt country back then. No depression music, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's gone through so many various subgenres since then, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, I was always more into that stuff, but I think I was just doing a lot of the other stuff because it was what was around. There wasn't as much of the Americana.
In New England, right? Lots of songwriters
back then. Yeah. I had a lot of the Boston folks coming up and playing on the show.
Yeah. At that time, we had a big kind of resurgence of that kind of country stuff in North Carolina. That's like when Whiskey Town was being played a lot, and Six String Drag. Did you ever hear those guys?
Right. Yeah.
And
Uncle Tupelo,
the Backsliders,
Ryan Adams.
Yep.
Yeah. Now you actually, one of your side projects was a Neil Young sort of thing, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I was playing with my buddy Jeff Hart in a band called Young Neil and the Damage Done. And it was fun. I started off as the bass player and then transitioned to playing a lead guitar. Jeff could sing those high parts easier than I could, you know, because Neil gets up there pretty high at times.
Almost falsetto, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was definitely a time I probably learned 100 Neil Young songs before I ever joined that group, you know? I mean, it was like Neil is one of my musical gods up there in that pantheon with Dylan and Paul Simon and whoever else, Carlos Santana.
Anybody who picks up guitar likes to play Neil Young stuff. I remember my brother-in-law, who's actually an accomplished guitar player, he plays out, and me, who stinks. One of the things we used to do is we'd play like a sort of down by the river kind of thing for like hours, just sort of, just soloing over the rhythm and just rocking out. You can take that thing and just play it forever. You know, it's like,
oh yeah, it's one of the first things, like when I'm teaching guitar and I want somebody to work on their lead playing, it's like, you know, okay, dude, we're gonna do these two chords and you're just gonna use the pentatonic scale over this, you know,
just get funky with it. Yeah,
sure. Well, because one of the, you know, things that you got to show people is that they don't have to kind of keep changing the notes, like because you play them that solo and he's like, it's like, you could stay on one note and it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
You
know,
just put a little bit of flair.
So sort of a meditative thing. It just keeps going.
Yeah, definitely. Down by the river. That's one of those ones where the high part is kind of high. Ooh, la, 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 la.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Let's see. Is there a Neil Young song I could play for you? What would be a good Neil Young song to do? I don't know if I could do this one or not. Now that one's too high. Got a favorite?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. Top of my head. Trying to think of what would be more in your range to sing. That's a tough call for me.
I know, especially right now. I've been battling this like sinusitis for most of the summer, which has kind of taken away some of my top my top-ish notes. Okay, here we go. Old man,
I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you. Oh man, look at my life. 24, so much more. I live alone in a paradise. Makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that won't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed. Rolling home to you. I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. Oh, one look in my eyes, you can tell it's true.
John Shane.
Well, that was off the cuff.
Forgot about the chorus, didn't you? The high parts there.
Well, I had to bring that down a little bit. That's right.
Had to rewrite that one a little bit. You ever hear the version the Whale and Jennies did?
They do that one too?
Oh, gorgeous, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Three women singing that. Oh, just fabulous, yeah.
Somebody gave me a burned copy of an album where a bunch of artists all did tunes off of Harvest, and then it was put into the order that the album Harvest is in.
And sure.
Have you heard that album?
I've seen a lot of similar things over the years. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If I have that.
It was really interesting.
One. Yeah. Every now and then when I play a song on the show, I think I did that this week with a Neil song. Unless I did that last week, I like to go to the original album and play the song that follows it.
Yeah. Especially if it's a interesting cover, right?
Yeah.
You know, my last album, Reupholstered, was like all covers. I think I sent you a copy of that.
Oh, right? Yeah. I played
that. And it's funny, too, because people come up to me, why did you choose that song? And it's like, I didn't choose any of them. That album was put together by a friend who's a producer, and he said, how about if I assign you songs and you have to learn them and record them? So it was an interesting project. It was like a challenge every month.
Yeah, it seems to be your new thing. It's collaborations, huh?
I like to collaborate. Yeah. It's good. Sometimes the material just comes that much faster when you have two heads putting it together, you know?
Right.
If you got to sit there and write 12 songs for a brand new album by yourself, it can take a couple years sometimes to make 12 good ones, you know? The older we get, the more we compare what we're about to do to what we've already achieved. And so the bar gets risen higher and you go, well, that's not going to,
I'm not going to do that again.
I'm not going to do that. I got to do something else. Yeah. So
takes you out of your comfort zone and makes you try something different.
You want me to do one off of that covers album? I can do the Hank Williams song here. Hank Williams, the first, that is, senior.
That's right.
Because I have a deal worked out with Hank Jr. He does none of my songs, so I do none of his.
There you go.
This is the California Zephyr. From the Great Salt Lake, Utah, to California's Golden Shore, Colorado and Nevada, through the desert's burning door, see it circling through the canyon, hear that whistle scream, it's a California Zephyr, Union Pacific Queen. See her rocking and rolling as she rambles on her way. She left L.A. this morning, burning down the right-of-way. And in the distance, hear her moaning, hear that whistle scream. It's California Zephyr, the Union Pacific Queen. Watch her swing and sway, and way out in the darkness, see that headlight gleam. It's California Zephyr, the Union Pacific Queen. California's Golden Shore, Colorado and Nevada, to the desert's burning door. See her circling through the canyons, hear that whistle scream. It's a California Zephyr, the Union Pacific Queen. It's a California Zephyr, the Union Pacific Queen.
Got the Johnny Cash ending there.
John Shane.
Very nice. And that's from the reupholstered CD.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an unusual one for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's some cool gems on there, though, definitely.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was a fun one to do. I often kind of think something about like covers is like sometimes you get a insight into what they really do and what they sound like hearing the way that they do some other material, right? Because if they put their own spin on that material and it's something you totally expected to sound another way, right? And then you hear what they did with it, it's kind of, that's where their sensibilities must lie or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think the only good covers are the ones where people really take them and make them their own, you know?
Yeah, you got to do something that brings your own heart and soul into it. I mean, and there's some songs you don't want to mess with and you do it the way that they did the original. But if you feel it and you're not, it's never imitative. You know what I mean? It's more like,
sure.
It's like a more in tribute, I guess.
You right. Know, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we're about up to the end of our 30 minutes we were going to do. I don't know if you want to lay one more on us or something. Maybe another one from the new record or something.
The new thing that's coming out? Sure, I would love to.
We could wrap up with that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And I've got a few things that I need to get to later because I have a tickets to the Red Sox
tonight. That's right. John Shane's playing Fenway Park tonight, folks.
Yeah. Playing spectator.
If ever I go back to California, won't be to ruminate in heady San Francisco. I got enough ideas clouding up my head. No, if I should go back to California, I'm headed for a beach town near San Diego. Let that ocean air be my evening bread. Morning fog my blanket, drifting sand my bed. If ever I go back to Arizona, won't be to spend no time in that grandest of canyons, those walls of stone closing in on me. No, if I should go back to Arizona, Flagstaff Mountains with the desert raven and the pinyon tree. Watch the eagles soaring far, far from the sea. If ever I go back to old Nevada, won't be to roll the dice in a Vegas casino. I've tried my luck much as my luck has tried me. No, if I should go back to old Nevada, I'm gonna catch a flyer up to Carson City, 'cause there's still some towns that I've gotta see. And all your neon dollars don't mean a thing to me.
John Shane. Yeah. Check out that one on the new CD. What was it going to be called again?
The new CD will be called Crow the Dawn.
Crow the Dawn.
And it'll be out sometime before Christmas. I think we're going to wrap it up, all the music and art, in the month of October.
Awesome. Yeah, so, looking forward to that one. And that'll be full-length CD.
14 tunes, John Shane and Joe Newberry.
Cool, yep. Cool. And who are you touring with these days? I know you had the trio for a while there.
Yep.
And,
well, it's actually kind of interesting. Right now, I'm a little bit in between. The Joe and John project will do some shows, the two of us, and I do a lot of touring on my own too. But just recently, I've started to write songs along with my good old buddy FJ Ventry, who's a longtime friend all the way back to high school and has played upright bass in my group since 1998, I think.
Long time.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we've started to write songs together, you know, again, more collaborations, and it's going really kind of quickly because he's had a lot of ideas kicking around melodically in his mind, and we have such common influences and things that we tend to know where each other's about to go next, you know. And so we will probably write 10 or 12 songs together and then think about what musical grouping would be best to play those songs and record those songs. But I would not be surprised if I pull out the electric guitar a little bit and we may get a drummer, because these new songs, they have kind of a little bit of an R&B kind of a soul, early 60s kind of a thing going.
With FJ, I'm not too surprised. He's, you know, the resident Elvis.
Yeah, well, John's it's groups. Not that it's not going to be rockabilly. I can't really sell the rockabilly. But like there's one song kind of reminds me almost of like something that Alabama Shakes would do or something, you know. That kind of a thing.
Oh, cool.
But we'll see where it goes. It's very premature to figure out what it's going to end up being, but we're having fun.
It's just a baby.
Yep, yep. And if I had memorized the lyrics, I could have played you one of those, but I'm not ready to.
Oh, that's fine. We won't put you on the spot. No. And we'll get you down the road, too.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's always good to see you.
Looks like I'll have one more little set of music to put together. Do you have any requests for the rest of the show?
Wow. To play something. Why don't you play somebody from North Carolina?
Ah, okay.
Well, do you have Gene Jolly's new CD she just put out?
I don't think so, no.
Or do you have... Who else has got something new? Kenny Roby?
No.
Nope.
No.
Oh, I'm sure you have Chatham County Line.
And Earl Scruggs and Doc Watson.
Yeah, there's a few from North Carolina.
I'm trying to think of the North Carolinians off the top of my head, but...
Yeah. Jonathan Bird, something by him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Play
some Jonathan Bird, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he's got some other projects, too. Something... What was the duo he was doing? He had a duo, too, that he was part of. But
Yeah. I can't remember. Yeah. He's got a new album out every 6 months or something like that.
All right, we'll put a Jonathan Bird into the next set after the break. But, yeah, we do have the calendar coming up for the local folks, and everyone else will get to hear something else. But we'll be right back. Thanks again, John, for coming by.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
All right.